The actors and jesters are here. The stage is in darkness. Curtain, and no one's quite certain whose plate it is. If only we had listened then. If we'd known just how right we were going to be. For we dreamed a lot, and we schemed a lot, and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart. Oh. Which you thought from the start was an honest one. For how do you please an actor indeed? Go relearn your lines. What you've done, nothing else. Everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, July 3rd, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books, Government by Consent, and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month. Click on a donation tab, top right-hand side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. We're in the book of Hebrews, and we'll be reading chapter 4, being read by Alexander Scorby. Hebrews chapter 4.
Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, If they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time, as it is said, Today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay, Terry, do you know if we have any questions tonight? Terry? You got your mic off if you're trying to talk. All right, I guess Terry's away from her computer right now. All right, well, we're going to go right into a Q&A. Let me change focus here. All right, anybody wants to get into the queue, we're open for questions or any comments. Right now, there's nobody in the queue.
Well, John, since no one's here in the queue, did you see that video that I sent you that we discussed on Saturday?
I started watching it numerous times, and it kept getting to a certain point and then just going off. I couldn't get it to play.
Ah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
All right, if I can find another version, I'll send it to you. I yield.
Okay. All right, we do have a couple of people in the queue. Before we try to start that again, Terry, are you back? Do you know if we have any questions?
I didn't know that Jan was going to be here, so I'm prepared to questions. Let me work on it, if you will.
Yeah, all right. Okay. I got a couple of things maybe to bring up. You know, one of the things we need to do is we're searching for money. And hopefully we'll be able to find some to go professional. We definitely need to go, critical mass. Critical mass is what's going to save this nation. Critical mass should give us committees of safety in, I'll guess maybe 3/4 of the counties pretty quickly. And that would be huge. We don't have that much time left to really try to get ahead of the game in the sense of trying to establish enough committees of safety with people who are educating themselves in order to take control of their government on the grassroots level so that they can have government by consent. And we have a lot of things to discuss over the coming months. I'd like to try to get something going soon, particularly with the 150 or so committees of safety that we already have kind of in process. You know, that includes people who are just signed up and ready to start one and starting to look into it, and those who have, of course, have gone to a point where they are actually having meetings already. It is imperative, extremely imperative, that the people on the committees of safety on the grassroots level have a proper education. Otherwise, you know, really they're going to cause more problems than solutions. Because, as Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. I know a lot of people are angry. I'm angry myself for a lot of things that have been taking place over practically my whole lifetime, I guess, but really didn't become aware of it until maybe about 15, 20 years ago. But we can't act in anger. We have to, you know, use our common sense and consider all things and deal with the problems appropriately. So anyway, and a lot of people may be doing things in an improper way if they're not educated. So we do have a lot of literature here written with instructions, but you must couple that with an education, must understand what our Constitution is, what it says, what the powers and the authorities that we gave to our elected servants, how our courts are to work, what we expect of them. You know, what is a court of justice? Very few people, I think, really know what a court of justice is. It certainly has nothing to do with civil laws. Anyway, as I said, you know, we need to get the word out there. So really, it's everyone's job to look for potential interviews for, you know, myself here at National Liberty Alliance. And if someone can make a connection, get some information with a radio or podcaster or someone, just get that information to Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. Make sure you put your name, well, he'll have your name through your email, but make sure you put your phone number in there so he can make contact with you if he needs to in order to make contact with the potential interviewer. You know, again, that's how we're going to get the word out, is really by, you know, getting interviews, getting the word out. I know that there are lots of places out there where they have a large, you know, following and a lot of podcasts, radio programs, everything, and where people are serious about trying to fix this problem. You know, I think it's probably reasonable to say that any organization, especially anything volunteers, you know, maybe 4 or 5% of the people, if that much, really move things along and participate. Many others kind of sit in the background and wait, especially in the situation that we're involved with, trying to deal with an out-of-control government. Maybe people have a lot of fear and concerns and so on. So they kind of sitting in the background kind of waiting before they do anything. And some people will never do anything. You know, they will complain about problems, and they'll be aware of the problems, but they won't do nothing about it. I guess that's just the way it is. But a small percent of the people will be the ones to really get this thing going. And then a lot of people will follow behind that. But again, you know, as Thomas Jefferson said, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And we're looking for a very small percentage of 1% of the population of the United States in order to do what we have to do. And I do believe that will grow over the years tremendously as people become aware of the potential education, the power and the authority that people have, the control of their government, the return to courts of justice, and how that happens. And that happens through the committees of safety. So if you're not connected with the committee of safety, you should be looking into your state here underneath our directory here, and just click on the directory tab. Check out what state you're from. Click on whatever state it is. Let's just take Alabama right now. And then you can find out who started any committees of safety there. In Alabama, there are three counties that have started committees of safety, so we have three contacts, and those are the people who you would contact as their phone number. We only put the county first name and phone number. So anyway, if there is nobody in your county that has started a committee of safety, then take the choice to take the decision to start a committee of safety. In order to do that, there's instructions here on how to start one and how to go through the, you know, follow through on this page. Register or edit your own committee of safety here. Just follow the instructions, and you'll be able to take control as far as starting the committee of safety. And remember, you can always pass that to someone else as time goes on. Some people will want to take that position. Some people won't want to take that position, but maybe they could take it for a time period until they can get things started and get more people involved. And ultimately, whoever takes that position should be to become the chairman for the county committee of correspondence, for your county and your committee of safety. Okay, we have a couple people in the queue, so we'll take some questions.
Well, whenever you're ready, I can read the questions now.
All right.
Do you want to do that first? You want to take people?
Yeah, let's do that first, and we'll take the people in the queue.
Okay, this one is 2 weeks ago. I asked you this: why would owners of multimillion-dollar oil drilling businesses not refuse to allow the government to shut down their business operations? You replied, fear. Now I would like to know, what could the federal government do? Give us a ticket? We could get it thrown out by a jury or by lack of jurisdiction or for violating Article 1, a bill of attainder. Do you think by your first answer the feds would resort to violence? And what does that indicate regarding the morality of our government officials? They would resort to violence rather than due process of law? Isn't that the MO of dictators before the 5,000-year leap? Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun, etc.? Give us your opinion on these things. Thanks.
Well, we are being controlled by tyrants, an oligarchy behind the scene, they control the commercial activity, whether it be in a state or federal. And I think when it comes to oil, I think the feds have seized control of that commercial activity. And maybe rightly so, because if there's an interstate change, of course, of movement of that product, then, of course, then it would be a federal issue. So they control that, and they have shut down, they shut down the pipe, the oil pipe coming down from Alaska. It's one of the very first things the president, I didn't want to call him president, but Biden, very first thing that Biden did when he got into office, literally on his first days. You know, he just signed a whole bunch of orders, just turning around a lot of stuff that Trump had done. I mean, dozens and dozens of them, and one of them was shutting down the oil. And then stopping the process of any building of the walls down south around for the border, and a lot of other things. So some oil drilling in different places is not permitted. I think Texas used to put out a lot of oil, I believe, and they've been shut down. They didn't shut themselves down, I don't think. The government shut them down. And it could have been through, putting certain requirements upon them that are too expensive for them to continue. So that might have been part of the process. I don't know of the specifics. They can control that. Now, can we go to court and fix that problem? Well, you have to find a court of justice. We're working on that. They're far and in between. It is good news that the United States Supreme Court is making some great decisions over the past year or so. Last summer, quite a few good decisions. Just recently, another great decision. Things are looking up. We're trying to get our papers into the before the United States Supreme Court. We have a couple of options or ways we're going to try to do that. At least two more that I can think of, and one that someone shared an idea with me. So we're going to try that after I try the next idea that I have. We've had two tries to get our papers before the United States Supreme Court, and there is a clerk, one clerk, who has blocked every time we tried to get anything in. They've blocked us. And even though we did a quo warranto, they ignored the quo warranto and they blocked us again. They didn't care. So that's what we're up against. We're in a court right now, and we're going to be sharing this case in our course, but it's just unbelievable on what the judge has done with, no specifics, no rhyme, no reason, just threw us out on Rule 12. But there is a process to deal with that. They're a statutory court. We're a court of record. We don't need to go through an appeal. We can sue them directly. And so that's what we're going to do. And so that's a case that I'll be sharing when we start looking at cases in our court access and the common law course. And we're going to get into some details. I've got a lot of great papers, I think, that we put together for that. And I think it's a real good case to share. Hopefully, maybe this case will be obsolete by the time we get on to the other side of devolution. But nevertheless, it'll still be a good case to look at to see how it was approached and what the different options we had and to do different things depending on what they'd done and what we would do. But they ignore everything. The moment they moved, we opened that case in a state court. Because they ceased to be government agents, if they were even government agents, they ceased to be government agents the moment that they stepped outside their powers, their authorities, their jurisdiction. And therefore, they lost all government protection. And therefore, it was rightful to sue them in a state court where the crime was committed and not necessarily in a federal court. Matter of fact, I can't find a way that I could even think that the federal court would have jurisdiction over this case. But the U.S. attorney moved it into the federal courts. The federal courts, the U.S. attorney moved it into the federal court. As soon as he moved it into federal court, he said federal court doesn't have jurisdiction. The case should be dismissed. Now, I had already agreed with that. I had gotten a paper out before he got that information out, I believe. I have to go back and look to see the chronology, if anything was very close. But I had already challenged jurisdiction, made the fact that they didn't have the jurisdiction, and that this case needed to be returned back into the state. And I also made the claim that we didn't know what jurisdiction we're in, and that jurisdiction needs to be posted as all court cases, up on the top of the page, which they refused to do. We also had one of the individuals, a bank, came in 2 months late. They defaulted. We wrote a default. We tried to get a paper signed to enforce that default. Clerk refused to sign it, and it was the law requires that the clerk sign it, but they refused to sign it. We then pushed it forward to the judge. Judge is ignoring it. So he ignored the challenge of jurisdiction. He ignored the paperwork, for the default judgment, and quite a few other things that we had challenged and put in. Everything totally ignored. No one answered. All of the different attorneys sent letters, throw this case out, Rule 12, same thing over and over again. And the judge, without reason, no rhyme, threw it out. So, but we have an interesting way of coming back in for denial of due process. And I had an epiphany recently, and I don't know why it took so long to realize it. And I was asked numerous times, what exactly is due process? And due process is, the ability to go in court and make an argument. And that's the key. We were being denied due process in the sense that we have a right to take it to trial. Not just be brought into the court and thrown out, but to be brought into the court to be heard, okay, and take it to the trial. That whole process is what's called due process. And when I realized that, I think we wrote a pretty powerful paper to support that idea and to bring it through. and to sue all the individuals involved, from the judge to the U.S. attorney and to all the other attorneys involved. But again, in order to get something done, you know, to fight a battle, for instance, for the oil, to produce oil, you know, there's a number of things that need to be done. You got to get the oil out of the ground. Then you got to ship it somewhere for refining. And I understand most of the refineries in the United States have been shut down, so that's another major problem. And therein it immediately makes it, controlled by the federal government because they control interstate commerce. So again, they have controls on it. They prevent that from happening. And that's that. There's really not much we can do until we can get a court that will be obedient unto the law. So that's where we're at. Okay, is there any other questions?
Yes. Yes. There are three left. Okay, and what if? Hello, what if I were to show you election fraud starts in notary public inability to orchestrate with House rules with complementary details of assignment? Would you be interested? This nation's number one J-U-R-A-T, jurat.
Yeah. Read the first part of that again, something with a notary.
Yes. What if I were to show you election fraud starts in notary public inability to orchestrate with House rules with complementary details of assignment? Would you be interested?
I have no idea what they're even saying, to be honest with you.
Okay, moving on.
You understand it?
I don't understand it. I don't get it at all.
I guess they got to be more specific.
Yes.
I think that person for that kind of an issue needs to get in and explain and maybe have a conversation in order to enlighten me on this. Okay.
Dear NLA, we keep hearing about President Trump's imminent false felony conviction, but hear that it will not bar him from holding the office of president. My question regarding this is, how come other individuals are prohibited from holding lower public office and pristine private sector jobs with felony convictions? Where in the Constitution does it prohibit the people from owning a firearm, voting, and serving as a juror? Also, could you please explain the difference between power, authority, legal, and lawful?
Well, look, legal and lawful, just start with that one, it means the same thing, okay? But they play a game with words, or people try to say, well, it's legal, but it's not really lawful. No, if it's legal, it's lawful. Legal is just another way of talking about something being lawful, you know? When you say something is legal, and again, it's really in the English language, but it means the same thing. I've looked that up in Bouvier's dictionary. I've looked it up in Black's dictionary, and they're synonymous. There's no difference between the two. So you have de facto laws. That's probably the best way to put it. Something that is a law that is de facto, if you want to make the point. But to call something legal but not lawful is an oxymoron. Really, doesn't work. Okay, now there was a couple other questions. There were quite a few questions. Maybe you can bite it up in a piece.
My question regarding this is, how come other individuals are prohibited from holding lower public office and pristine private sector jobs with felony convictions?
Okay, felony convictions. I have no idea how they get that through. I'd have to see. I don't see nothing that permits that to happen. If you were convicted of a felony, then you've lost your honor. At least until the penalty and the price was paid, per se, at least till that happens, you've lost the honor. So I don't know how anybody that was a felony hanging over their head would be able to hold any office. Now, I could be wrong. There may be something out there I don't know about, but it doesn't make any common sense to me from the standpoint of thinking, under common law. Certainly, if there's just some kind of a statute that permits that, I would perceive that null and void. It doesn't make any sense to me. But again, if someone committed a felony 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they paid the, they paid for what they've done. They've come to the point. They've changed their lives. They've repented, you know, so to speak. Well, from that point forward, I think maybe. But that's the best I can answer on that. Now, there was another part to that question.
Yes, there was. Where in the Constitution does it prohibit the people from owning a firearm, voting, and serving as a juror?
Of course we know it doesn't exist.
Okay.
All that is an unalienable right. You have an unalienable right to go into a court and pro se in your own person. You have an unalienable right to practice law. Okay. You don't need any license. You don't need to belong to the bar. Of course, the bar has taken control. They seized control and put, doorkeepers there, and they got the guns, and they prevent people from coming in, and that's that. And if you push too hard, they might even jail you. So there's nothing you could do about that, at least at this point. You know, there are battles that could be made and might be won. Well, I'm still working on battles, making them, and some of them might be won. We'll see how things go at some point in time. Again, the other side of devolution, it's a whole different story. Read that question again, because I know that I wanted to say more about that.
Where in the Constitution does it prohibit the people from owning a firearm, voting, and serving as a juror?
All right, yeah. All right, again, all those are just unalienable rights. I guess I have nothing else further to say. It's an unalienable right to have government by consent, that is voting, that is sitting as a jurist, and that is being active and participating on a grassroots level to take things back. So it's that simple.
Okay. And one last one. I don't know how much of NLA's listening audience is aware of this, but now that we are in July, an app known as FedNow, FedNow, all one word, is said to be implemented on July 18th per Executive Order 14067. I'm cautioning anyone that may receive these apps to please reject them. From what I heard, the FedNow app targets Social Security and pension payments first, and then cascades into all private monitored cashless transactions. I hope that this is just another scare event, but we should be on the alert. Now, I did not, as this is me talking, I did not go see what Executive Order 14067 does, but I think he just wanted to make that announcement.
Well, look, they want to do a lot of things, and every one of them are evil and brings us further into slavery under control, takes away more freedoms, puts more stress and pressure on people, makes it harder for them to live. They want us to eat bugs. They want us to live in a certain area under control and not travel. And they want a lot of stuff. They're insane. And you're going to hear more and more. And they're going to push closer and closer. And the banks are going to have a holiday at some point in time, a bank holiday. They may be closed down. I hear they may be closed down as long as 2 weeks. I mean, that's a pretty long time, which means all your funds in the banks are just totally frozen. You can't do nothing. That the entire United States would freeze. It would stop doing anything. What are you going to, if you can't use your money? So that's a major problem. I make it a habit not to keep much into the banks anyway, because if they do have a bank holiday and shut down and freeze everything up, it would be hopefully bare minimum, at least from my perspective, for me anyway. But look, they're going to do whatever they want. And things have got to, they've got to be allowed to some degree. I mean, the military, in my opinion, is ready to go, but there are certain tripwires I think will make them activate immediately if certain things are done. But until, if something really serious doesn't happen, but these kind of things continue to happen, it's going to get worse and worse. Look at the electric bills, from my perspective, have doubled. It's insane. It's hard for anybody to survive these days. Everything has gone up. Food is ridiculous. And again, it's going to get worse. And it needs to get worse in order to wake up the people that are sleeping. And I've heard different things on how many people are awake. I heard up to 60% of the people are finally awake. But I also heard that that's not enough. That may or may not be true. But in any event, we're in for the long haul, I guess. Not much we can do about it, but to try to get through this. But at some point in time, when enough people understand and see and realize and say something needs to be done, then something's going to get done. Or if something really serious happens, maybe blowing off of an atomic bomb or something, which would be really drastic, but that's a potential here in the United States. And war is at our doors. And that's something, of course, that would cause us into a situation. And I'm wondering, we're hearing a lot of talk about aliens. It's everywhere. All these whistleblowers, all these people coming out and talking about it. The timing is strange, questionable, because I've always heard that that's one of the games they play, because they have this technology to make it look like we're being attacked by aliens. So, maybe that is what is in play. I don't know. But in any event, we're going to see how things go. But again, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I know I've heard from many people, it's going to be a hot summer, meaning being things are going to really heat up. And there is a tremendous amount of news coming out, a tremendous amount of revelation of what's going on behind the scenes of all the crimes and people are participating with. And this woke thing, it's not going to get any better. These companies don't care what you do, whether you don't buy their product or not. They're in it for the long haul. And they've been ordered, and they're obeying that order. And this goes far deeper. Pretty much every major corporation out there, almost every major corporation out there, is going woke. And you're not going to have too much of a choice on buying from these people. Many of all the major grocery stores are under the control, ultimately, of the elite. I know as far as what's in my neighborhood, Price Chopper, ShopRite, Stop and Shop, Grand Union, and numerous others. All of those are going woke. Where you going to buy your food? Home Depot, what's that other one? Lowe's. Okay, they're woke. They're going woke. Staples, Office Max. They're going woke. All the major department stores, they're going woke. Amazon, they're going to go woke. I couldn't believe the list. The pages go on and on and on and on, page after page after page after page of all these corporations that are going woke. Now, why are they going woke? Because they're controlled by the powers that be. They don't have a choice. It doesn't matter to them. The bottom line is people got to buy anyway, so you don't care. That's number one. And number two, if your company collapses, well, you've made your dollars, we put you in power, and that money's floating up to them anyway. We put you into power. We've given you the ability. You've made enough money. Get to the other side. You'll be back and spring back again participate in, getting out whatever product it is they're getting out. So, they have control of everything. So that's where we're at. All right.
That's it. That's okay. All the questions I had.
All right. I know there was a question from Andromeda. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Andromeda,
yes. And I know there was a question floating around, and she had sent me something about another option to try to get our papers into the court. And I looked into it, and I do agree that is another option to get into the court. I was kind of aware of it before, but I didn't think about it, and I didn't think about how I would even approach them. But I've given a lot of thought to a lot of things we're doing here concerning getting our papers into the United States Supreme Court. And I realize that is a way to do it. So I'm going to take that option, and we'll talk about that at another time, what that option is. Right now, I'm taking a different option, so I want to stay focused on that one option, and pretty much is to approach directly the clerks for each and every one of the nine justices, and that's a way to get it before them. Instead of sending it in the normal way, I'm going to send it directly to a clerk, and then inside the papers, it'll expound upon what they need to do with that paper to give it to whoever it is that they're clerking for. The big problem is that each one of these justices have numerous clerks, at least three or four clerks apiece, and so I guess I need to find I guess there might be a chief clerk for each of these justices, so I have to look further into it. But that's the way I'm going to approach it now. Send it individually to one of the clerks, to get to each one of these Supreme Court justices, and see if that works. Now, if that doesn't work, then I'm going to take the next route. Again, there's another way, and again, we'll be puzzling through this some more. We've already filed our papers, with NORCOM, and also with the militia, in the sense of the National Guard. So at least they've been posted there, and we'll see where we go from here then. So, with that, I guess we'll move over to Q&A. Anybody wants
to? Good to me.
Excuse me?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Get into the queue now. First person, Bob Brew. You got the mic. What state are you calling from? And Terry, let me know if there's any feedback, because I have an open mic here. And I guess it works pretty good. It doesn't pick up the speakers, but we'll see what happens.
Well, it did on me. I was talking in myself there when I was talking, but now it's not.
Okay. Well, I did lower it, and let me make it a little lower. But Bob Brew, you got the mic. Oh, well, you look like you muted yourself now.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. I don't know. Every time I got to say how much I love the NLA and everything that you've done, and the website is just unsurpassed. And I think the Lord is handing us the solution on a silver platter. We have three groups that have needs that the others can fill. And the need that y'all feel is the expertise in the courts and the law and the training and the recordings of these calls and the information that's there and your nationwide membership. I don't know how many emails there are. It's over, 13,000 or something. But I keep bringing up the precinct project. Since we last talked, Robert was on that Get Patriotized call with Frank Speech, network, and somehow after his 5-minute presentation on there, he got some massive funding, to help seat, state representatives in Texas. And so anyway, he's doing something right there. But the main thing that the five-star plan or the precinct project can supply are the members that we need for committees of safety. In my precinct alone, I've got 1,400 voters, 400 of them are Democrat, but I've got their names, phone numbers, and email addresses, and their addresses, and they can be used easily to aggregate, precinct block captains, street captains, and get members for the NLA and also for the JBS, which has a wide reach and a great media presence with their magazines and newsletters and updates. And to me, it just seems like the Lord is handing us this on a silver platter. I was listening to last Monday night's call last night, and there was that guy on that was toward the end of the show, and he kept continuing on, but very gracefully, about the difference between the United States of America and the United States, and who your counsel is, CIL or SEL, in court. And he was claiming if your counsel is, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then the courts that are controlled by the bar have no standing against that. So anyway, that's just another, strength that the NLA has that I don't think Precinct 2 know or even the JBS knows much about. That could be just huge when the rubber hits the road locally, and we have to go to court. We've got some real friction going on here with our county judge, and he was trying to remove one of our best constables, law enforcement capabilities. And then again, 2 weeks later, they had the budget hearings, and it was just more confrontational than I've seen in 10 years. But anyway, this constable guy, his name's Josh Joplin, but he would be a perfect NLA sheriff, sheriff's handbook kind of person. And I don't know, I'm getting a little garbled. I'm not really a good speaker. I'm a terrible speaker. But it just seems like the stars are aligning. And being able to utilize the strengths of the NLA, the precinct chairs, and the JBS, John Birch Society, which has been around since the 50s or 60s, it just seems like it's a gift from God. So let you respond or comment or ask questions.
All right. I've spoken with JBS before. I spoke with, I forget what his name was, but he was the leadership of JBS. And, they said they don't get involved with political things. And, I was talking with him back in those days about taking control of the committeemen and getting rid of the party bosses. And this is when we were really doing committeemen, before we started to do what we're doing now, which is more than the committeemen. And but they didn't want to get involved. I don't know if they've changed their thinking, but if the JBS newsletter wants to, or whatever, they have a news magazine or something, wants to do an interview or learn about what NLA is doing and do a write-up on it, then of course we'll participate with that. But I don't think they will want to. What state are you calling from, by the way, Bob?
I'm calling from Texas. Texas. And I went last week. I went with one of our SRECs at the Texarkana, which is almost Arkansas, and it was put on by one of the JBS regional people. They have meetings every Friday, and they have 30 to 40 people that show up. And then the other guy that commented with, he's on the other side of the state, like in Alpine, and he covers all of West Texas. And we talked twice for over an hour each time, ruminating over, the advantages of these three groups and how...
So JBS has meetings often, is what you're saying down there? There's some groups of people belong to the John Birch Society have meetings on an often once a month or something like that?
Well, the JBS leader for sort of the eastern part of Texas is taking it under his horns to run the Republican Club,
If they wanted me to do a seminar for them, I would do a seminar. You know, I'd have to do it through online here because I'm in New York on the other side of the world here. But if they wanted to look into what we're doing, you know, they can get a hold of me and, you know, they can get a hold of Jan, and Jan will set up a meeting with me and them, and I can explain to them who we are, what we're doing, and if they wanted me to do a seminar, I could do a seminar through using you know, one of the programs here. We've got lots of programs that we can do a seminar off of the computer with. So that's one thing we can do. Now, going to the committee men, one of the problems with the committee men is that they're parties, and we got to get rid of parties. Now, I don't want to. I don't want to tell people not to become a committee man, especially if they are a committee man. They could do what they can. And, you know, I know that if you get the committee men out of other parties, you know, like the conservatives or whatever groups they might call their names, you know, they don't have any power and they, you know, but they have all been infiltrated, you know, every one of them. But in any event, one of the things that we're going to be teaching is once the Committee of Safety gets up and going, one of the things they have to, you know, get going is a political committee, which really, remember, the Committee of Safety are committeemen, and they all need to get involved during the election time. They need to get the word out to different individuals, you know, different people. They need to support people and walk their papers and get them onto the ballot and do all those things. And so we will become competitors to the committeemen, you know, the statutory committeemen, which belong to parties. So they will kind of hear about us at some point in time within the various counties. And once they realize what we're doing, I think a lot of these parties are going to fall apart through attrition, and because these people are going to come over to work with the people in the county that's free and independent and does a lot more than deal with just the political process. We deal with the judicial process. We deal with all local governments. We deal with the school districts. We deal with everything. And so I think there'll be a lot there. And if you get a group, you know, we do have a group that wants me to talk, but I can only do it online. I think they're out of Pennsylvania. And they're, I think they're the conservative party, so it's not like they're the Republicans or the Democrats. And I think that from what I'm hearing, they're willing to listen. So, you know, they can free themselves. You know, they got a group of people already doing some things. Well, hey, just walk away from, well, they can work with, they still work with those people, but they can get involved in the committees of safety. Eventually, they'll all, I think, move over to the committees of safety. Getting rid of the political parties will be very simple, very easy. Again, they'll fall away by attrition once we get committees of safety in most counties throughout America. And that's when they're going to just fall away. And that's how we get rid of political parties.
Okay. The way I see it is the Republican Party has a platform. The first thing is laws of nature and nature's God. You can't contradict that. And then it's all these biblical things. And the parties as it stands and has fallen with evil men has gotten away from all that, and we can censure them and get rid of them. Already, the main county in the district for our Speaker of the House has censured him. There are other counties that are doing it as well. So that's the Speaker of the House in the ninth largest economy on earth, and it's something that's happening via the precinct chairs and their CECs, which is the county aggregation of the precinct chairs. So, you know, that is, there's no reason why I would love to have NLA members run for precinct chairs, because still 35% to 40% of them are vacant. So they're just sitting there waiting for somebody to take that position of 3,000 voters in a neighborhood, a defined neighborhood, with all their emails and phone numbers and addresses, and do what NLA does. I mean, you know, when you guys pray.
One of the problems, you know, because we were doing that, okay, here in New York. And there are party bosses. You're going to get a lot of flack from those people, and we were, a lot of us were taken into court and challenged, and they always won because they were the parties, so we never really got much power or seats, and it's a lot of work, and the only thing you're really focusing in on is the political process. You know, in order to have meetings to really talk about everything, you got to go to a county committee of safety meeting where they talk about the educational problems. What are we going to do to fix that? They talk about the problems in this village or in that city or in that town and how we're going to fix it. They talk about the problems with the sheriff, how we're going to fix the sheriff, how we're going to deal with him, how we're going to educate him. They talk about all the different election boards throughout the county, and there are a lot of them, and you know, how are we going to fix them? How are we going to force them to obey the laws and to obey what the people want and stop bringing in all this insanity? And we have a solution for all those things, and that can only be solved with the committees of safety. Now, with the committee men, let me just finish. With the committee men, they are focused on the political process. And I do believe once they become aware of the county, and look at if the committee of safety can get some get out there and talk with these people, but it would be kind of self-destructive. The party bosses would put up a big stink about that. But if you can get in and talk to them and deliver some of the things we're doing, not tell them to quit what they're doing, you know, do the right thing, go after the right people, walk the papers that are people that you want to walk the papers for. One of the problems is, you know, we all know it because I was a committee man numerous times, and it's always the same thing. You don't get to walk the papers for the good people. You're the only one walking the papers for the good people. So if you can get a lot of people, and they give you a hard time with that, and they'll kick you out. At least they will here in New York. Here in New York, you can't walk if you're a Republican. You can't walk papers for a Democrat. You can't walk papers for the Conservative Party. You can't walk papers for anyone else other than the party that you're in. Now, I do believe there is, I know there is a solution that if you have no party affiliate, there is a form that they hide, okay, so we can make it up, which allows you to go and fill out the forms, the paperwork that they use for going out to get the signatures. It's just written up a little differently and not much. But you're coming in as a non-party member, so you can walk the papers for anyone. Now, they're going to buck that. They're going to take you into court, and it's going to have to be fought, and we can win it, okay? We can win it in court if we have a just court. If we have a court where the judge is controlled by the committee men, because here in New York, those judges are elected, and they're not appointed, who elected them? Who walked the papers for them? Well, the committee men did. So they're going to get a phone call from the party boss. You better do the right thing there, judge. And so the judge is going to do the right thing for them, which is the wrong thing for righteousness and justice and the people. So it's an uphill battle, and I guess people are going to have to work that out in the counties. But I do believe once it starts to leak into the local parties in the county of what's going on in their county with the committees of safety, and you get a couple of committee men come over and listen to see what's going on, and come to the meetings, they're going to go back to the party and say, hey, we need to be over there because they're doing all kinds of things. Plus, you know, they are really talking and walking the papers for the people they believe that should be in office. And we're dealing with all these other problems too. So, again, I get back to the point that the parties will fall apart by attrition. They'll just, you know, lose more and more people as time goes on, and they'll be coming over to the other side. And it'll come to the time when they're not going to be able to get anyone to participate in the party structure. You know, if we don't get rid of parties, then we will totally lose our republic. I mean, we're just about there. The people believe we're a democracy. They say we're a democracy. Reality is the way one perceives it. So as long as they believe it, it is. Okay? Until you can change the minds of the people through education to understand that we're not, okay, we are. And that's a major problem. That's why education is so important. But it still gets back to the same thing, okay? We don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. That's the simple truth. And that's how we're going to defeat them. Because we don't need millions of people, okay? We need a fraction of 1% of the population of the United States. And I'm talking about a small fraction. Look, if you can get 50 people in every county, okay, and you got 3,000 counties, so 3,000 counties times, let's say, you know, an average of 50 people, okay, that's 150,000 people. That's a small percentage of 1% of the population. And that 50 people, or even if it was 20 people, okay, those people will explode when they go to their first school district meeting. It's going to go through the roof. Okay, as long as they follow the process and the procedure that we're writing up for the people to follow, and the people are free and independent, they can do whatever they want, but hopefully, if they don't follow the prescription that we're going to give, hopefully they have a better prescription that will work. But we're going to show them, and it'll make all the common sense in the world, on how you can pull all kinds of membership just by going to one school district meeting. And you just have to work the plan out. And if you work the plan out, when you go there, you're going to have a huge number of people there, and they're going to see the power and the authority of the people, and they're going to see the people take control and take these people out of office and reseat new individuals into those seats, or they will obey one or the other. And that power, all those people have already been invited to the first Committee of Safety meeting for them, because, you know, we put out a postcard to all the people. We're going to be meeting in this school district concerning the problem with the board there, and to get rid of all this craziness, and come to the meeting. Let's talk about it. Let's see what do the people say. You're going to get a lot of people that are going to join the committees of safety after that part of the process goes. And there's, you know, and that's only one one place where there'd be, you know, an education a board of education meeting for a certain district, okay? Because there's lots of school districts. I mean, every county must have 30, 40 or more school districts, maybe more than that. And when you look at that, every time you go to one, you're just going to blow up. So I think if people are really doing the work that they need to be doing and focusing in on the plan, within a year, in my thinking, without exaggeration, they could have 500 to 1,000 people in a county working. Can you imagine what can be done with 500 to 1,000 people in a county trying to solve the problems, working together and using solutions that work? Okay, and if you multiply that across the nation, we're way beyond all the numbers we ever need in order to take total 100% control of this nation. Again, the people will rule. So that's what we need to do. Now, again, I don't want to tell people that are going into committeemen not to do it. I think they should, if they're there, continue to do what you can. But look over to see what's going on in the committees of safety. Find out what's happening and pass the word. That's all.
Okay. The last time we talked, and this was just before you got sick, I think, you were going to listen to the recording on May 18th. And somehow it just popped up, and I listened to it again this afternoon. And I think if I don't know if you've listened to it, but it gives a much better description than I ever thought I was capable of giving of how I envision the aggregation of these three groups. I think I could get a bunch of MLA members just out of my precinct chairs here in Smith County. Also, I can get MLA members to become precinct chairmen to fight for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is what the parties aren't doing. The parties have become puppet placeholders for power in Austin and in D.C., and that is not what their oath is going to. They swear it to the U.S. Constitution, the Texas Constitution, and to the party platform, and that is how we'll be moving. We removed the third most powerful representative in the state. We've got the Speaker of the House on the ropes. Now, I don't know how things are in New York, but they're certainly much more amicable here with being able to at least get access to become a precinct chairman and an MLA committeeman and a JBS member and be able to do the work for the Lord and the laws of nature, creation, laws of nature's God, the Bible, and get back to what our founders had when they first you know, when they started this, because without the Lord, they would have been utter failures. Somehow I stumbled on a David Barton recording that I just can't believe I have never seen. It is his most powerful, and it's about the Christianity in America. And that's what I'm going for. I'm not going for any group. I'm not going for NLA. I'm not going for Five Star Plan. I'm not going for JBS. I'm going for the creation and the Bible and getting back to the Constitution as it was written to protect everything in the Declaration. And seeing as how tomorrow is Declaration Day, this seems like a perfect time to be talking about that, because we are utterly avoiding it. According to Barton, you know, the two greatest days in human history was when Christ was born and when the Declaration was signed. So I think that's where we need to head, and I think we can do it as a group much better than we can as divided groups, you know, integrated. With, you know, ideally, you know, I haven't started paying my $5 a month, but I feel like I need to pay $60 a year, you know, for the NLA. And I am a member of JBS, and I am a precinct chair, and I am a Gideon trying to get the Bibles back into the fingers of four-year-olds in our classrooms, and that's exactly where the founders put it. So I'm getting on the. I think the spirit is overwhelming me, and I guess maybe I would shut up and let somebody else talk. But I really would appreciate it if you have the time to re-listen to the recording on May 18th, and it's labeled Texas and Gorillas. So there was the unfunded gorillas that I was trying to get.
Are you going to have to send me a link on that? Because I don't know where that is.
No, it's on your website. It's labeled. it's the call on 5/18, May
18th. Oh, it's one of our records.
It's labeled, That's what's so great about you guys.
Okay.
Is, you know, your website, I don't think we need to talk to anybody. We just need to introduce them to your website and all the handbooks. I've got a foot and a half bookshelf space with binders of all your content, so I can pull it out and just show somebody. So, you know, you are unsurpassed. And if we just acquiesce to having members that are not just totally committed, you know, committees of safety, or, you know, but they can be more than one thing. You know, they can be a precinct chair, they can be a committeeman, they can be a JBS member. And that's kind of the plan I was talking about with the guy in Alpine, the Western Texas regional representative, and he was very gung-ho about it. So anyway, once again, I'm carrying on too much. But the 5/18 recording is epic. And then the one you had last Monday was epic too, with that guy about, you know, going to the court system and questioning their jurisdiction and not taking counsel from the Bar Association, but having the Lord and Savior as your counsel. And then they just have to bow down to that and not prosecute or, you know, drop the charges. So anyway, I just love you guys. And I mean, you are just a huge bright light of hope for.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, and we are National Liberty Alliance, so I mean, we try to align as many groups as we can, and we don't discourage them from doing the things that they're doing. You know, we have the Republic Review, and we don't want to discourage those people from doing what they're doing. But they can come get an education here, and they can still do committees of safety or participate with the committees of safety. We got the same thing with We the People with Robert Schultz. And again, these are compatible groups. And the John Birch Society, you know, that would be something that we'd be compatible with. I mean, you know, you do realize that they've been infiltrated and they're constantly being tweaked to go into a different direction or prevent certain things from going on. But nevertheless, the general public that's involved with that really want to do the right thing, and a lot of their leadership, too. But again, I don't know where they're at these days, but they have been infiltrated. I don't want to discourage anyone from being a committeeman if they already are a committeeman. if someone's looking to see what they want to do, I strongly suggest go to the Committee of Safety, bypass the committeemen, because we are the real committeemen. We are the committeemen, the free and independent committeemen that's involved with a lot more than just getting someone onto the ballot, you know.
Right.
But you know, again, those people that are doing a good job, there are. Look, I'm in New York, so most of New York is infected, poisoned.
Right.
Okay, and you know, even in the places where you know it's a Republican strongholds, they're poisoned. Okay, the committeemen are controlled by party bosses. Now I do know that you get further away from cities and in different states, particularly in New York, it's even when you get away from the cities, it really doesn't matter a lot of times. But that's not true altogether. There was a runaway. A group of Republican committeemen up in the county north of me, and it was run by this retired state trooper who discovered the truth and what was going on, and he became a committeeman, and he became one of the chairmen in that area, in that county, and he took that place a whole different direction. And so I know that there are good people in certain places that probably have seized control here and there. But as a whole, you know, it's a problem. But again, you know, if they're in the committee, if they're a committeeman and they visit over to the committees of safety, as time goes on, those people are going to bleed over into the committees of safety. There's no doubt in my mind.
Right.
At some point, they're going to shake it off altogether, the party, and say, we don't need a party. Look, when you watch what's going on in Congress, especially right now, and you see what's going on trying to expose all of the crime, all of the pollution, and you see, for instance, they were talking about you know, these judges that are being sent up. I mean, these judges, they're not qualified. They absolutely are not qualified to get on to become a federal judge, and yet the Democrats, all in one accord, are supporting these people. I mean, that just exposes the whole darn thing. And the more we see of that, the more people see of that, then the more the realization of how bad it really is. Look, these people should be independent. Forget your damn party. They should be up there saying and following what is common sense, what is right, what is just. Yeah, these people are not qualified, period, end of subject. Don't vote for them. But it's insane. It's total insanity because they're party controlled.
May I just interject one thing? In Texas, we have to abide by our oath to the Constitution, to Texas, and to our platform, which is all annotated with Bible verses. So when people don't abide their oath,
when you say we, do you mean the committeemen, or do you mean the people that are elected?
The way we get rid of people are these local precinct people that are precinct chairs, and they call for a vote in a meeting to censure somebody, and it's an easy deal, and it's done, and it becomes just
What happens when they're censured? What does that mean to them?
That means that they will not have the support of the party to be on the ballot the next election.
Okay, one of the other things they can do if they don't realize is recall. 90-day process, out of office. They can recall them.
Right. And the other thing is pulling the bonds of a lot of these people, and that's what NLA knows how to do. At least that's my understanding. And nobody here knows about doing that. We're just doing the censure and the recalls. But, you know, like I say, we got rid of the third most powerful state representative, you know, the third highest seniority, and now we've got the Speaker of the House on the ropes.
Well, I'll tell you what we need here. You know, if you ever come into someone who's very knowledgeable, I mean very knowledgeable, on how the committeeman process works, how the breakups work, I mean, and the details that can train other people, okay? So if you ever come in and if they have turned away and have joined over to NLA, and they realize what we're doing and they want to participate, even if they're still participating with the committeemen, that's fine. But if they have the knowledge, we do need some teachers here to teach the people the political part of the process.
That,
You know, I wrote a handbook, and it kind of breaks things up down to a degree. But it really, we need someone teaching that. And, I mean, if I have to, I'll teach it. But I don't really have the time to teach that part. I got too many other things to do. I got to find more people that can teach. I got to find more people that can get involved.
May I?
Yeah.
When I'm see, we have, like, 35 vacant chairs. So before I even consider anybody to tell him how he can become one, I make sure he is educated and that he can teach others. I've already given out like 200 of Robert's books, you know, and if they agree to all the technicalities in his book, then they're educated enough to get my support and for me to. So I've already seated six in my county, and if they were NLA people, that would be even better because they'd be more knowledgeable. But you know that we've got a solid voting block right there, along with the ones that I know were conservative, you know, before I even became a precinct chairman. So the idea is to make sure the people that you help occupy a precinct chairmanship, you know, are educated, especially on creation and the Bible and all of and those laws that no human laws should be suffered to contradict, then we're halfway home, because that controls everything that the laws that we can write. You can't interfere with creation or Bible laws. So you know, I'm just more encouraged, even though you think it's impossible in New York. I think it's being done in Texas, and I think it could be done statewide. And that's what's great about you guys, because you are all over the country. You run great calls. You have the communications. You do the recordings. You have all the classes. You know what I can say. I'm not lying. I've got like a foot and a half of bookshelf space with binders, at least 14 of them, some of them the big 2-inch binders, and of your materials. So, you know, it's we got to be a little, you know, flexible, not being solely one thing. We can do multiple things for the common good.
Well, absolutely. And you know, again, going back to teaching, you know, I wrote the handbook here, and I'm looking, you know, I got it shown right now on my desktop, if anyone's looking on their desktop. And on page 19, it's a 40-page handbook, which is a PDF handbook. I mean, if you buy the handbook, the pocket handbook up on Amazon, it's probably like 80 or 90 pages, maybe even 100. But this is 40 pages, you know, 8.5 by 11. And when you get to page 19, and this is where it gets a little complex for people, but it's really not. And it's very logical, really, if you sit down and look at it. It's like learning a little math and working through it, and then you get the picture. But basically, you know, the political committees break up into state district committees, U.S. congressional district committees, assemblyman district committees, the state senate district committees, the town and city district committees, the village district committees. And that weaves in between different counties. So counties, you know, at some point they have to work together, because if you're in a congressional district that covers your county and the county next door and maybe a piece of another county and maybe a piece of another county, and you're all sharing that, well, there's got to be communications between them, and that's where the Committee of Correspondence comes in to make that connection. And so there'll be meetings to come together when you're going to be voting on a congressional, someone for U.S. Congress. Well, that committee has to meet all that area. They have to choose a place to meet, come together, discuss potential statesmen that they'd like to get into power, and then decide on who they're going to walk the papers for, and have a lot of conversations. And of course, they're free and independent. They can choose whoever they want to put on the ballot. But at least through conversation, you'll find out who the good people are, and you'll have the interviews. When you interview these people, you're going to know who they are. You know, if you start asking them, tell me about the Fourth Amendment, tell me about the Fifth Amendment, what do you know about Article 1? What do you know about the courts? You know, if they don't have these answers, you don't want these people to be, you know, taking these elected positions. They need to know the Constitution. They need to know the Bill of Rights. They need to understand the Declaration of
Independence. I'm right there with you, John. One of the guys I talked to today is in Loxahatchee, Texas. He did the betting on Jeb Hensarling before he went into office. And then another guy that just recently died in office. And he's put Brian Harrison, who's one of our top state representatives. So he helped me teach, or I helped him teach, or we helped teach another guy's program. It's called the Constitution Boot Camp, which is really, really entertaining and really, really good. And then we're also dealing with the National Constitution, whatever it is. I'm losing the name of it, but they've got like a series of 12 classes. They're each 15 to 20 minutes long, and then they've got three different sets of tests for each of those classes. And so he's, you know, I introduced him to that. He's really big on it, and he's going to be using that for vetting the candidates that he has a broad history. He does all the sheriffs. He does, you know, in his sort of region. And anybody that's running for office, he and his little team are betting them. And if they were NLA members, they would have a whole lot more information than what they have now, even though what they have now is better than just about anybody that I know. And I'm just trying to make them, you know, the best they can possibly be. And that's where the NLA comes in. And your calls is a way, you know, that's a way to aggregate. But here in our county, you know, I'm hooked up with all of our precinct chairmen. There's like 33 of them now. And so I've got all their phone numbers and cell phone numbers and email addresses. So we can get together and decide what we're going to do at the next CEC meeting. At the last one we had, we threw out that resolution for paper ballots, and it just totally surprised our county chairman. And anyway, we passed it unanimously for paper ballots. And then we had a meeting last Monday, and we had four of our commissioners there, the county clerk and the representatives for two state legislatures, looking at this hand count ballot procedure. It's called the hand count roadshow, and they're going to be in Houston on the 15th, and Robert's going to be speaking at that. I don't know. It's just like the Lord is just laying it out, and if we can cooperate, use each other's resources, and which each of our groups, our precinct chairs, we need more information, more education, and you know, your website and all your classes and your videos. That's where I got that video on David Barton that just so astounded me, was from what you said last time you were on the phone talking about the videos that you put up. And that just blew me away. So I sent it to everybody on my mailing list and my text messages, you know, that with the 4th of July coming up, they got to know that the Declaration Day is the second most important in human history.
All right. Well, we've been talking for a while. We've got to move on to others, but it's a good conversation. Okay. We should talk some more about this. And, you know, maybe I'll have to find time and actually do a course on the political process as far as how it works and how the committeemen should participate and, you know, how the committeemen process actually works. That's what I got to do a course on, unless I can find someone else to do it. But if not, I think I got to get it done because, you know, it's something that has to be done. People need to know. You know, I'm trying to, well, I got so much work to do. It's very difficult to figure out what to do next sometimes, you know. But we'll work it out. It's getting late.
Let some of your people do it, because every precinct chair that we have, it's like 43 of them now, I would like to have them as an NLA member.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I don't know anybody who can teach this. I mean, you know, I know there are people that can teach this, but I don't know of anyone that can teach this. You know, maybe Gerard can teach it because he went through this whole thing with me. And maybe, but, you know, he's not around a lot because he's got a lot of problems. He had some medical problems because he had a couple of injuries. He injured his back twice. He's got trying to keep his head above water. He's in business for himself. He's got other problems. And so he's not as participating as much as he used to participate. And hopefully soon he will be able to participate more. And it has a lot to do, of course, with money, too, as much as also physical problems that he's been dealing with. But he's doing a lot better, of course, now. So, you know, I don't think his physical problems are that bad at this point.
He took over on your call last week, and he just did a phenomenal job.
Absolutely, yeah. I try to pass things over to him, you know, whenever I can. I kind of jump in a lot on the judicial stuff, but he's got a lot of knowledge on a lot of the other stuff, and he's got knowledge on the judicial stuff too. But you know, again, some of these questions. You know, I've puzzled through a lot of these problems and I've come up with some of what I think is some of the best solutions. But even from time to time, you know, you get another solution that's better than the other solution. I mean, you just got to puzzle through the problems, you know. But let me move on to the next person because we're getting real late and I don't want to let them run out of time where we don't get to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Ross, you got the mic already.
I'm wondering, you said you guys will have a research committee.
I can't understand you. There's too much noise in the background.
I was just saying, do you have a research committee?
What?
Research committee.
Oh, a research committee. Well, I need to do a lot of research, and you know, I've been doing all the research. I'm gonna just mute you while I'm talking, and I'll unmute you when I'm done because there's a lot of noise in the background. But you know, look at, excuse me. We have to go professional. There's no way getting around this. I need to get at least one. And I would prefer two paralegals and a secretary in order to get done what has to be done. And we have to hire people, an individual to do research, someone who knows how to do research, and we can give them jobs. And maybe the paralegals can do a lot of this because really most of what we search out is, you know, really gets into the law. But we need to hire someone that spends their day all day long focusing in on different social medias. Where to get a word out, you know, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter or Truth Social or this one. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And we need someone who knows all those things. And then, you know, the board, we do have a board now. And that board needs to come up with ideas, let's say, for the week. You know, what message do we want to get out this week? What message do we want to get out that week? And then get that out onto all of these different social media places. We also need someone to focus in on the whole job is just getting us interviews. And I'll spend a lot more time being interviewed, you know, because that's what I need to do. And we need people for different positions. We need 10 people, 10 district coordinators in order to assist and they need to be all educated properly and they need to spend full time, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, or job being paid for and working with all of these committees of safety that are growing up and making contact with them, getting them information, assisting them. You know, have knowledge of where, you know, all of the roadblocks are and make them aware of certain roadblocks that are going to come up and how to get around them. And, you know, there's a lot of things. We probably have to hire probably about 20 people, I'm figuring, if I recall, in order to accomplish the goals as a professional. And maybe even more as time goes on. But 20 would really take us, you know, to the stratosphere, okay? And growth would happen very quick. When you have people spending, you know, 40 hours a week on their jobs and they have to produce, and they produce, we'll have success like you never know. But right now we're all volunteers. People only put a few hours in here or there, and some people, you know, don't put too much time in. Some people put quite a bit time in. But we don't have the professionals we need in certain areas. And that's what we got to get. We got to get to that point. And if we don't get to that point, then, you know, it may take 5 years to accomplish our goal. And it'll be flimsy to a little degree, because you'll have certain committees of safety that may be taken over by some sociopath or something, or a group of people that haven't connected enough well with National Liberty Alliance, and they're off on their own, and they're not compatible with the other counties, they're not working with the other counties, they're not communicating on a national level. All these things are important. Our founding fathers knew this. Look at all of the colonies which became states, you know, became the first 13 states. They all had their own issues. They had their own problems. They wanted to do their own thing. They all thought different way about how they want to, how liberty is and what they want to do. And they did that. But they also came together and created a national level in order to deal with national problems, collectively. And we have to continue to follow that. The big problem with that kind of thing is it's taken over by, you know, eventually, you know, people come in and they take things over. As well as National Liberty Alliance, you know, and we're doing everything we can to create a structure so that it can't be taken over and infiltrated. And you know, we're working on that, and we have a, you know, really a, sort of a motto or whatever you want to call it, you know, we're hands off. People do whatever they want. Every county is free and independent. We cannot tell them what to do. But they should realize that we have knowledge, we've researched, we have courses, we have proper education, we got great ideas, we got experience, and we can give advice. And they can take and do what they want with it, but if they're following their common sense, they'll probably agree with most of what we're doing, and they'll tweak it the way they want to tweak it, and that's fine too, because it doesn't matter, you know. But we all have to work together, not only on a county level. You know, each county, you know, like for instance here, you know, in my county, we have, if I recall, it's 19, let me think about this, I think it's 19 towns and 3 cities in my county. And those towns have villages, okay? So there's a lot of different political, you know, structure, what would you call it, political subdivisions, okay? You know, you have each village has its own situations and problems. Each town has its own situations and problems. You know, and each city has its own, you know, problems and situations. And of course, the county in itself. And so when a county committee comes together, you know, you have to break up into those sections to work within those cities, in those towns, in those villages. And you want to have people that are living in those towns and villages and so on and so forth. So, you know, again, you know, to understand the structure, to put it together, to see the whole picture, to realize the power and the authority that people can have. They can have, you know, government by consent. We can have just courts, and we can maintain them and control them and protect the people from all these tyrants and protect the, you know, prevent the tyrants from actually seizing power. We could do all those things. But people have to be properly educated, and they have to work together. They can't isolate themselves. And we have that problem from time to time, where people have isolated themselves and they went down the wrong direction and they took on different things. They got involved in the man on the land, and we had to cut them off. We cut them off and started anew in that state. And so those problems come up, and hopefully the you know, again, if people are, at least one person is getting educated at National Liberty Alliance and taking all the courses, at least one person in every county doing that, and bringing in that information that we're given, then we'll glue together and work together. Well, yeah, we'll have a bickering and differences. Now we're going to do it this way or that. That's who we are. Of course, we've got to do it that way. But generally, we'll be on the same page. We need to be on the same page. So that's an important factor. All right, let me unmute you, Ross. Go ahead, Ross.
Because I did sign up to be a researcher for you guys. You guys didn't have that research meeting.
Yeah, that kind of just fell apart. Again, you know, we're volunteers, and that's a problem. We need to get professionals. We need to, people need to take these positions, and then they have to perform. If people are volunteers and they don't perform, or, you know, they come in and they can't get a hold of them, whatever, this is the problem with volunteers. We do have some people that are loyal and keep on top of things and come to the meetings and participate and give in what they can. But then we have a lot of people that want to do something, they say they do something, and then they don't. You know, one person put it to me this way, you know, let me see how they put it. You know, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is volunteers. We're a volunteer organization. The bad news is we're a volunteer organization. So we need to be professional, you know, and I've run, you know, large organizations before, you know, companies, corporations, not corporations, but companies, and, which is a corporation, but I mean, you know, in the construction, and, you know, people have to produce. If they don't produce, you know, you try to hire the best person for the position. They need to go out and produce, and if they don't produce, then you got to get rid of them and replace them. That's just the way of the world, and it's the way it has to be. You have to get the job done. You don't want someone coming in and doing minimum work and getting a paycheck and not getting the job done. No, we're going to have requirements. And there's ways to have those. We can control that. It's just the proper management you would need to control that.
But yeah, John?
We're not going to get it done in volunteers. It's just not going to happen.
John?
Yes.
That means if you want professionals, you sort of have to have a degree in that field, basically, to have those researchers to do that.
Not necessarily so. I have no degrees, and yet I'm self-educated. Lots of people could be self-educated. Let's take someone who knows, who's involved in all of these social media. And you know, they're putting things out in all of these different social media. Well, we need somebody who has that knowledge. You're not going to find someone who would agree with that, but you're going to find somebody that knows how those things work and involved in those things, and they can get NLA's message out. And they can be participating in some other things too, other than just that. But we need people who know, who listen to a lot of the podcasts going out there that has, you know, papers and that can get the word out, get the word to them. So now it comes to, let's take a paralegal. We do need someone. I'm going to have to mute you while I'm talking to you for this noise. Let's take paralegals. We definitely need paralegals, people who have been educated as a paralegal. They need to understand the structure of the court, the basic understanding of the judicial processes, and how to write papers, how to do research in court cases and different things, and we just will give them a different direction. Instead of getting too involved in court cases, we want them more involved in the history of common law. You know, they would be required to take the course that we're doing right now, which is the court access and the common law, in order to build upon and get rid of the poison that they've been delivered by going through the bar process to become a paralegal. But we do need paralegals, okay? Those people have to have a background in it. Now, can you get a paralegal that is self-taught? Well, sure. If someone is self-taught and you can, and we can see that they're self-taught, they don't necessarily have to have had gone through a particular school if they've been self-educated. But again, yeah, we do need people that have an understanding of different areas that we need to, you know, deal with. So, okay. Anything else, Ross?
No, that's it.
And I'll let you know once we get something researched, you know, we can look for people, volunteers, and people working part-time with those people, you know, and so we'll do that too. So, you know, if we get someone in researching that really knows how to research, and they can get, you know, two or three people working part-time or volunteering or whatever it is they want to do, and then they can, you know, they can... The research, it can weed out work for them to find and to and have a required time for them to get back with that information. So we can work with part-timers, we can work with volunteers, but we do have to have someone in charge that is dedicated in the area that is focusing in, whether it's a formal education or self-education.
Okay,
that's it, Ross, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll take the next question, next person. Dan, South Carolina, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Greetings to everyone. I have really enjoyed the dissertation tonight, the different ones yielded. This is Dan standing out of the Carolinas. I just going to be short here with this. We have such a great country, and those that have stood the time and gave their lives and still do are involved. I just have to say a little something here. July the 4th, you know, my dad's birthday was July the 2nd, and he spent in three different, was on duty to go to actually three different wars, campaigns, especially World War, that we had there in Guadalcanal, and there's a lot of others too here. We'd like to just remember those that what they did and those different various wars. No war is to be left behind and be forgotten or anything. And those that serve and continue to serve, I know and I realize all of us are tremendously come with great heritage, and it's apparent that even though we've got some trying things now, even with our on our shores here with our government, we've got some better days here coming, I'm sure, because Americans are people that are of ability, and they're going to rise to the occasions. And so I want to give this encouraging to be close to your families, hug your families, have a sense of appreciation there all throughout whatever, and especially when we have our armed forces and various others to be recognized coming up. We all have this to be appreciative of the kind Americans that we came from and are still present. Great people here in America, greatest country. I'm prejudiced to that point of saying that, but it appears because of the history of American governments and individuals come together at different times and lending their hand out and helping people. I know back in, I'll close with this, back in, the cowboys and Indian days, so to speak, and those people that went west and those when a barn would get on fire or whatever need to be rebuilt, the spirit has carried over from the way those people really were pioneers and forming, and especially our framers. Gosh knows what fabulous minds that they possessed, and it just is far reaching now to view some of the different documents that they drafted up, and that is still good today and onward. So I went a little bit past what I intended to. I think I'd like to yield right now to someone else there that that hasn't got on. It's 10:44, and I'm not going to go into my personal situations of some unfortunate legalities, but I'll tell you right now, any of you that are hang close to National Liberty Alliance and be respected, but yet bring forward as convenient as you can, they are helpers. And let's contribute. Let's be mindful of what it takes to carry on National Liberty Alliance. And so we all need to contribute and be appreciative of Mr. John Durash and Jerry Priya and Mr. Chan and all the others that's associated. And back in time, I will close with this, with Brent Allen Winters. I have always marveled to hear that man speak, and I've always had appreciation, strong appreciation, for National Liberty Alliance making an opportunity for him to speak. Just awesome people comes on here and every night, and again tonight I enjoyed the dissertations and different ones made a comment. And so I'll turn this back over, and let's be proud of our heritage and our liberties, and let's try to encourage our neighbors to know more about our Constitution, and we should be our neighbors' keepers in so doing, their, even your state constitutions. So I guess that's kind of about covers it.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Let's take our next caller. It looks like our last one. Kathy, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Thank you, John. This is Kathy Cooper in Minnesota. And, John, last time somebody there was assisting me to draft documents for me on June 14th to challenge jurisdiction, it was for a criminal case. It was for violation of a harassment restraining order. So right now we're working on, well, the same person was helping me draft documents, and in the verified show cause denial of jurisdiction, I think it must be from the template on the NLA website, there's several places where it makes reference to criminal things. On line 21, it says respondents are to show cause by what constitutional authority the above said court acts and why the attached violations or charges against the petitioner should not be dismissed for lack of personam jurisdiction. And then on line 34, it says service of an appearance ticket on an accused does not confer personal or subject matter jurisdiction upon a criminal court. And then in line 39, it says criminal courts proceed according to statutory law. And then I think there's one more place that references criminal courts. Just let me turn the page here. Line 80 says, in criminal cases, a court must have an indictment by an untainted non-statutory grand jury. And then in line 86, it refers to a trial by a jury, and I think instead of a trial, in my case, I think it would have to reference a hearing. So my question is, this verified show cause denial of jurisdiction document that we're drafting makes references to criminal charges or a criminal case, which seems inappropriate since the case I'm challenging jurisdiction in is in probate court. So what would be the best?
Everything, first and foremost, when you're looking at jurisdiction and challenging jurisdiction, first thing you want to do is go find out what that court's jurisdiction is. You can find that out online by just searching it all over the Internet, and you'll find out for that particular court what their jurisdiction is. So that's the key. And probate court has a unique jurisdiction. Go look it up and you'll find it, and then you can start to understand how to battle it. Now, all those things that you read off, okay, each one of them, you have to have basic knowledge of those things. And so that takes time, and that's, of course, what the course is all about. But look, at even after the course, your education really starts. Look, you go to college and you can get a degree, and when you come out of college, you know, that's when your real education begins, okay? It's on-the-job training, so to speak. And it's the same thing with anything else. Now you got to dig deep into things. So you got to see what the jurisdiction is. What is the subject matter jurisdiction? What is the maybe the district? Or what area is that jurisdiction in? What does it cover? And, of course, the personam jurisdiction, which is the most important, because more often than not, you know, they'll have a particular jurisdiction that you're stuck into, and they have the subject matter jurisdiction, but the question becomes, do they have the personam jurisdiction? Now, in truth, in absolute truth, no courts that I have ever been into has jurisdiction over anything, and that includes even the New York State Supreme Court here. they don't really have jurisdiction over the free and independent people because they are statutory, okay? And statutes have nothing to do with me. And I'm under the law. I'm not under, you know, positive law, which is statutes, codes, regulations, those kind of that. That's for fictions, you know, corporations and government agencies and the agents that work therein. That's what all that is for. It has nothing to do with me. But you're not going to make an argument on this side. Well, you can. I'm making the argument right now. I think a pretty powerful argument I'm making, and I do think we're going to get through the court on this one and even bring our case back down to the state court where it belongs. We're in federal court now with it. But the thing is, when you make the argument in a particular area, you need to know where they can go with it. You need to know what their mentality is and how much you can change their thinking. You need to know how to take them out when they just get stubborn and refuse to permit you to have your day in court. You need to have how to deal with that person. And again, you know, I think the course is going to help a lot when we get into looking at cases and we start talking about some cases that I've written. And what I have learned through the time, but it's hard to break through that veil. It's hard to break through these people to see it. Lawyers don't see themselves as evil, and I don't want to say every lawyer is evil. Of course not. But look at they're greedy as hell. These people are so much into the money. I mean. And that's put upon them. And of course, they're poisoned to think that they're under Roman law. And ultimately, we are under Roman law. Right now, we are under Roman law because they brought it in. They brought Roman law in. Roman law is the law of the city. It's municipality law. It's the law that controls the people through statutes and codes and regulations. Okay? And that's how they're controlling the people. And every court is operating that way. From the United States, from the federal district courts all the way down to the town and village courts. They're all operating the same way under statutes. So ultimately, no court, in reality, no court has jurisdiction over you. None. But you're not going to convince them of that. But you may be able to win a battle. But again, you have to have knowledge. And again, I think I'm going to win this battle that I'm working on right now. But we'll see. Time's going to tell. And if my court, if this court case proceeds further than our court course, then I will probably come back with another session to add on to the course in order to finish off the case that I'm going to share. And we'll see where we go. On the other side of devolution, it's going to be a whole different story now. Because once we get back to common law in the courts, it's a whole different story now. Now we take control of the courts. But it's important to get this case in that we're working on, which is another case that I'm going to be talking about also, which is the case going before the federal district courts, which we've already looked at part of it, but I'm going to rewrite it in a different way now, and it's going to become part of the course also. But it's the paper that needs to get before the United States Supreme Court to put their feet the fire under their feet. And for them to come to terms with, to realize this is what it's going to take to bring us back up to a lawful court under the republic that we are. But again, it's an uphill battle. So you have an uphill battle too, but you need to really, you know, focus in. You still have a lot to learn. It's going to be difficult for you, and you're going to, if you're not ready for what they throw at you, you know, you're going to be stuck. You do have time whenever you look at whenever they throw something crazy at you in the court. Bottom line, say, look, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I need some time. I got to look at this. I need 30 days to respond to this, you know, and that kind of thing. Especially if you're in the court and you have a hearing and you're talking about something. There's nothing wrong with saying that I need time to think about this and to come up with a rebuttal on it or whatever the case may be. But now you got to get back down and do your homework. You got to struggle with it. You got to puzzle it. You got to bring all the stuff together that you've learned and work it out. So,
can I just
Yeah, make it quick.
So basically,
I do have Maria. I got one other person I'd like to get in, but I got to leave very, very shortly, in minutes, actually. You got a final thing?
So just let me, if I understand what you're saying, the documents that is in with our the class, the common law class, that course that I'm taking, the document that is for challenging jurisdiction, the verified show cause denial of jurisdiction document would have to be rewritten. Yep.
You have to curtail that document according to your case. There's a lot of stuff in it. Some of it needs to be taken out, and some of it needs to be left in. Okay? And you got to understand what's left down. You got to understand what you took out. Okay? What you left in and what you took out. So, again, you know, you have to look at law is a puzzle. Okay? Law is constructive. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, just like the Bible. That's what law is. As a matter of fact, the Bible is a law book. And, you know, if you want to understand that law book, you have to read it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Well, law in our law, because we're under the Bible as our law, we're under common law, we're under God's law, we're under nature's God's law, you still have to, you know, it still gets back to line upon line, precept upon precept. It's maxim upon maxim, okay, ultimately speaking. And you have to be able to, you know, with the jurisdictional challenge, understand the jurisdictions you're in, where your jurisdictional arguments are. You know, it's not right now. It's hard to make an argument that every court that's statutory has nothing to do with me, which leaves you totally out of the whole system. They can't do anything. Well, you're not going to get them to agree to that. That is going to be one heck of an uphill battle. So, but with that, I got to go, and we can pick back up some more on because you're in the course. We can talk some more there, and sadly, and we'll talk again on Monday. So,
okay, thanks, John.
All right, thank you. Maria seems to step out, so we come to the end of our program. I got to take a run, get my son from work. And so I'm going to close down. All right, God bless everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you Saturday or next Monday. Good night, everybody.